life for the soul. You see, in every church, there will always be at least two types of people that are around after a sermon. One type of person is the one that got it, and were blessed by the sermon. So God talked through that preacher that day, and they got it. The second type of person consists of those who, no matter what the preacher might say, didn't get it. And they leave either disappointed or frustrated. But unfortunately, in most churches around the world today, there is a third group of people. And that's the group that has already made up their mind before they ever came today that whatever that preacher has to say can never feed me spiritually, can never do anything, whatever the reason. I've already made up my mind. I'm just here for the moment. And that he or she cannot tell me anything. You see, last week's gospel lesson, which I did not preach from, I preached from Ephesians last week. But last week's gospel lesson was John 6, 24 through 35. And it gives us a portrait of Jesus' audience that day. It is, again, speaking of that bread from heaven. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must you and I this day do? What must we do to perform works of God?" And Jesus said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What are the signs? What's going on? Are you going to give them to us so that we can see it and believe it? What works are you performing?" You see, he says, "Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written in the Word. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread that of God, that is which comes down from heaven, gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always. Give us this bread always." You see, the portrait of Jesus' audience that day was the folks that had just been fed, the 5,000. Of course, you and I cannot know how everyone felt about Jesus' declaration that day when he said to all those people, he said, "I am the bread of life." It may be that some believed. It may be that some understood and were blessed by it and left it at that. They got it. Others may have wanted to know more about what Jesus is truly saying to them. And sadly, that third group there that I mentioned is present here. And John simply names them as the Jews. They were present that day. You see, the Jews said that this was an outrageous statement given the fact that all knew well who Jesus was because they knew his mother and his father. He says, "Who do you think you are? We know who you are. We know your mom and dad. You're Joseph and Mary's son. You're Jesus. And now you're telling us that you've done what? That you've been born and have ascended from above, that you've come down to be with us, and that you're the bread of life." So they're kind of upset. You see, it's a probable fact that all the audience that day were the Jewish people there whom Jesus mentions. And they begin to attack him on the spot, especially the one about him coming down from heaven. Can you imagine what it would have been like that day? This is somebody that you have known, that you grew up with, that you've known your whole life, and all of a sudden, change. All of a sudden, have you ever known somebody that you grew up with that was probably, they not really, really weren't that bad of people, but they were just a little whatever, and all of a sudden, one day, they get religion, and they know the Lord, and then all of a sudden, Here you are, you're remembering them from how you grew up. This person that just irritated you and bothered you and worried you, and now they seem to be a Christian. And you're like, you got to like them. Well, this is exactly kind of how some people felt. They said, you know, we knew Jesus. We played with Him. We grew up with Him. He was around in the neighborhood. And we knew who His mom and daddy is. We know His brothers and sisters. We know the family. And now all of a sudden He's coming here telling us that He's the bread of life and He's come down from heaven. And we're like, there's something wrong with this picture. So the Jewish people are kind of like, you know, what's going on here? What has happened? You see, the practical view of life is of course, that one is born of a mother and father. Any additional explanation to that process is left to science. We just leave that to somebody else. But for a person to claim that he or she has come from heaven is an outrageous claim. Yet Jesus uses this discussion to address His relationship with God, His Heavenly Father. For most who were familiar with the story of that time, this claim that He was the bread of life and coming down from heaven was not so outrageous. Those who knew all about that, they said, okay, we know that. But the rest of the people that had just come on the scene, that had come from other places, that had come to be there that day, it was a declaration made by someone they thought who was completely crazy. He's out of his mind. He's lost it if he thinks that he's come down from heaven. But what Jesus wants to share is that He came from God, and all those who would believe in Him would have a new relationship with God. You see, Jesus begins to let them know of His messianic purpose, that He is the Messiah, that He is the one that's been amongst them the whole time. And He's come into the world. He came into the world as a baby. And they were a part of that. And He grew up with them and they didn't even know it. But now He's to give His body as the ultimate paschal sacrifice for the human race, for all the world. His time is at hand. His time is getting close. And He's got to try to tell all these people, and they've got to try to understand this all, because they've known Him for 33 years. And now they've got to figure it out a different way. It's changing everything that they've ever believed in, everything they've ever been taught, everything they've ever known. And then the Jewish people that are there, that are the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and all those people that are just not so nice, of course, they're wanting to trick Him at every point, and they're not believing because it goes against everything they've been taught from the old. You see, the manna that was eaten in the wilderness strengthened the people, but ultimately they died. It strengthened them for a moment. It strengthened them for a time. You see, the satisfaction of the meal did not last. I'm going to pick on Mr. Ray here a little bit because he's a good guy and he can take it. So, but think about when you eat. Some people are thinking about food. Mr. Ray, somebody I've been with a time or two, and off on different trips or mission trips or at conferences or even in his home eating. And Mr. Ray likes food. He likes to have a good meal prepared. And when he gets through eating that meal, guess what he's thinking about? His next meal. Where are we going to eat at? Wonder where we're going to go, what we're going to do. And because that's the food that sustains us day to day, and it's going to not last. It's not going to be a food that lasts for a lifetime. We eat a meal of a morning, sometime around 12, 1 o'clock, we want another meal. We eat one then, sometimes 6, 7, 5, whatever time you eat, I don't know. Somebody wants something else. And then if you're like Mr. Bobby Hamilton, you might want a dish of ice cream sometime before you that evening or even in the afternoon. And sometimes he even eats cornbread with it, vanilla ice cream and cornbread. So there's things that we have habits. There's things we like to do. There's things that, but that food sustains us for what? A moment in time. It is something that's not going to be there. They said its satisfaction is not going to last. Jesus speaks of a meal, though, that will satisfy us forever. He's speaking of what we had last Sunday when we had Holy Communion, that time that He says that you get to share My body and My blood, when you get to know who I am. That is the gift that will last. That is the thing when you truly know Me, when you truly know who I am. You see, those who would believe on Him and accept Him as the Lamb of God would not die. We might die to this world, but we will not die. We will live in eternity. You see, this image remains, although now it has a special significance of Jesus' pending death as payment for our sin. Jesus uses the image of bread as something that all in His audience would understand. Everybody understands bread. When I was a little kid, you went to the store, you had Merita and Sunbeam, and that was it. Go to the grocery store today and tell me how many loaves of bread do you see? How many varieties, how many kinds, how many colors, how many... This is whole grain, this is partial grain, this is white, this is wheat, this is rye, this is pumpernickel, this is seven grains, this... I mean, my goodness, it's just... You don't know what to do. You're like, I want a loaf of bread, just a simple loaf of bread. But anyway, it's become... So bread is a way of life. It's something that sustains. It is something that is always something that... Not only His audience of that day, but our audience today will still understand that bread is something that all of us know about. It was central to everyday life in Israel, and it is central to life today. It was also central into the religious life, and it was something that you broke bread together. You come to the Lord's table to break bread. So the celebration of Pentecost featured bread, as did the celebration of the Passover with the unleavened bread. Bread is a part of who we are. All God-centered, all God-given. As Jesus explains, this is the ultimate feeding, the giving of God's own Son for the good of all the world. A feeding that will not need repeating. A satisfaction as only God alone can provide. All this comes from after the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 to further emphasize that theme that is there that day in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, that God will provide for our every need, whether it be spiritual or material. He's going to be there. In God, we find our strength and our nourishment. In God, we also find life. To those who believed, they received the feeding and the nourishment that is life in abundance, while here and life eternal after this life is over. That people can walk away from that meal without eating and being satisfied in a deep sadness. That people can walk away from that meal without eating. Think about that, without eating. That you can come to the Lord's house and you don't get anything out of it. That you're not being satisfied. That's a deep sadness, not only for me, but for those of us who call ourselves Christians. You see, our task as Christians is to invite others to join us in this celebration of life. And this celebration of life is knowing Him as your Lord and your Savior. The bread of life that feeds the soul. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You this day for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for that gift. We thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be the ones that takes that message to our world, the one that tells others by the way we live our lives, that tells others, instead of telling things that are so untrue and things that are so false, things that have no meaning at all, they seem to spread quickly. But Lord, those things that we need to be telling, those things that we need to be sharing, those things of our life, our heart, our soul, those are the things that should be spreading like wildfire amongst us. Those are the things that we should tell everybody on every corner, that You, Lord, are the bread of life, and that You feed that soul that is within us all so that we can have life and have it eternal. So Lord, be with us this day. Bless our time. For it's in Your name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 474. Precious Lord, take my hand. Hymn number 474. And know that our altar is always open, that you can come. Come and share.